taken me kind of by surprise this morning, but we're grateful for it. Thank the Lord for His blessings. We think of the congregation as my family, part of it, most of it, here today, and we appreciate all the Lord has done for us. A long life passed away, granted unto us, they say, long life. I don't know whether 91 years is long life or not, but anyway, I'm there. So we thank the Lord for that this morning and appreciate your patience and your love in times past. I was just thinking when our sweet companion passed away, how just before that we had our wedding anniversary, we received 63 cards for our anniversary. And that was quite a number. I'm not able to send cards out. Thank you for those. But from the deep of my heart, I thank everyone that's involved in that this morning. Appreciate it. Thinking also the years that we have been around, 72 years ago, within my first camp meeting in Neosho, that's when this meeting started in Neosho, was not saved at that time. Virginia was not saved either, and they invited me to go down there that Sunday, and that's the first time I ever saw a camp meeting. I thought it was a kind of an odd thing at that time. See all those people and tents around and one large tent they had meeting in and so on. And that has stayed with me through the years. But 2 years later, the Lord got a hold of me in 1937. Thank you. I got it backwards. That's what old age does for you sometimes, see? Anyway, the Lord got hold of us at that time in February the 28th, 1937, and changed my life. Prior to that time, I didn't know anything about the Lord, didn't know anything about salvation, didn't know anything about what the people believed in, because we lived in a home that's closed to those things, mostly. So I thank the Lord this morning that the Lord spoke to me at that time, January the 28th, 1937, and saved me. Folks have been saved ever since. Been trusting God ever since. Just about probably 3 weeks or so after we were saved, don't just remember how long now, had my last heart attack. Don't give up on divine healing. Don't give up on the power of God to heal. When I was 15, I had a series of heart attacks that almost took my life. And I had to go to a treatment, have treatments on those. And then at 18, I had the same thing happen again. Went through the same process. Didn't know the Lord. Didn't know anything about God. And then in 1922, after Virginia and I were married, I had my third one and the last one. Why? I had the Lord then. I'll take that back. And it wasn't saved quite then. That was after. Yes, it was too. I'm kind of mixed up, I guess, there. Anyway, yes. Now, that 3 weeks after we were saved, had that attacked and asked the wife to go and have her folks to come over and pray for me. And I didn't know anything about divine healing. And they came over, and I remember her mother, and Sister Ina Lowe, some of you remember that way back there. She came over and laid her hands on my knees and prayed for me and rebuked that, and the Lord healed me completely and not had one since. That's way back there now. And we appreciate what the Lord has done for us. All right, we would like to talk to you a little bit this morning by the help of the Lord and encourage you to hold fast to the Lord. Now, in that length of time, those years are gone by with me, I'm still trusting God. He's still healing. He's still hearing and answering prayer for healing. Still blessing. Still touching bodies. And dear ones, this morning, urge you in Jesus' name to hold fast to the promises of God's Word this morning. It's vital to your salvation and to your safety, your living for God. And hold fast to those promises and stay right there. Dear ones, we thank the Lord this morning the Lord heard and answered prayer for me, and I am. I think sometimes I wonder at it, the marvel of it, how that the Lord came to our rescue. Now, I was just a little bit confused when my brother said what he did about my age and so on. I'm not ashamed of that. Not ashamed of 91. Not ashamed of that at all. I'm looking forward to 92 now, if the Lord wills, and so on. So I desire an interest in your prayers, that I will not give way. I will hold fast to the promises of God, to that plan of redemption, and lift up the standard of truth before the people of God. That is my desire, that the people of God will profit and benefit by what the Lord is able to do, able to save to the uttermost. I was not guilty of a number of things people have trouble with and so on. I grew up in a home where tobacco was used awful heavily. My father smoked, and he chewed both, and he smoked and chewed the strongest he could raise. And he raised some of his own. And you can imagine what that was like. I grew up in that, and so on. And the Lord has spared me from any appetite for any of that. And then, dear ones, on down through the chime, a little along through there somewheres, other dad introduced me one night when I was 12 years old to a mug of beer. Mug of beer. It cost 5 cents in those days, and I was 12 years old. He took me into the place and bought that, and one for himself and one for me. Shoved one over to me. I took a little sip of it, and I didn't like it. I just didn't like it. Didn't like the taste of it. So I saw he put salt in his, and I thought, well, I'll try that too. So I put salt in mine, just as bad as it was before. So I pushed it back. Dad, you can have mine. Get me a glass of milk. Beer, big mug of it was a nickel, and a glass of milk was 10 cents. But he came up with 10 cents and bought me a bottle of milk, a glass of milk, and that's what I drank while he drank my two the beers. Dear ones, the Lord spared me from any appetite for liquor or any kind of that like that, and so on. For tobacco, for anything else back in those days, didn't have a, and I was spared from rough language. When I was just a teenager, a young teenager, a man, I don't know whether he was Christian or not, he must have been, he heard me use one bad word, and I don't remember what it was, I'm glad I don't. But anyway, he called me aside and gave me a little talking to about that, and my dad should have done the same thing and warned me about using bad language. So the night when I got saved, I had nothing to repent of along those lines. And I thank the Lord this morning, today, have no appetite for any of those things. They're strange to me. So I'd like for you to pray for me this morning. I came down here with a burden. It came last year with a burden for the folks here, and it didn't work out that I would deliver myself from that. But dear ones, this morning, I would like to talk to you a little bit, with the help of the Lord, something about the concerns I have for the people of God today. We're in a land where things have kind of gone out of control on every side. Teenagers and children today are involved in things that we never thought the people would be involved in 50 or 60 years ago. But they're there today, dear ones. And we want to, some way, to encourage the saints of God this morning, and the young people especially, the children today. Choose your companionship. Choose those that are clean. Those things that don't bring on those things that trouble and confound the mind and confound maybe upright living and so on. May the Lord help in that. We have so much of that to contend with today. We see it on every side. In my day and time, seemed like they thought, or dad did, that I ought to grow up to be a man and be able to fight and quarrel and contend and hold my own and so on. But thank God this morning that the Lord is my defense. He is my salvation today. He's my keeper. He's taken care of me all along life's way. And we really appreciate that this morning. That God is still the same yesterday and today, today and forever. The one who is able to keep us along life's pathway. And we've trusted God now all these years, and companions been gone, and now about 10 months and so on, and I still miss her. You know, she was my passport to salvation, my companion. She wasn't saved at the time we were married, but we both got saved. And when I would try to do something that's kind of out of line and so on, she'd very quietly say, "The saints do that." I got acquainted with that. That was her attitude, her way. "The saints don't do that." Well, I thought neckties was in style. I thought they were something that I needed to be up to date with everybody else in the places where I'd go. Want to put it on. I don't know how I got by with it, but I got it and brought it home on the night we were married and had it in the closet. And that night we got invited to the congregation in Kansas, or Springfield, rather, on Kansas Avenue. And I went to put my necktie on. I thought it was a pretty good necktie. I thought it was kind of attractive. My wife spoke up real softly, like she says, "Saints don't wear neckties." I said, "What?" She repeated, says, "Saints don't wear neckties." Well, I got the habit. I got the, collar and so on. And she insists the saints don't wear neckties. All right, if that's what it is. So I laid it down. And whatever happened to that necktie today, I don't know. It vanished anyway. And so we never wore a necktie since. So that was some of the things. That is the manner that she used to teach me. Yeah. Dear ones, this morning, I'd like to speak to the husbands this morning. Yes, brother put up there, manhood here the other night, the other morning. In some men, to be boss. You think about that a minute. Some men have it in their minds that they're going to be boss. Dear ones, I tell you this morning, God is our boss. He's the one controlling our lives. And if I'd had any attitude like that at that time, Virginia had a way to let me know that God was taking care of the situation. Dear ones, believe in your companion. Hold her up. Lift her up. She can be your support, your comfort, your helper in time of stress and trouble, sickness, and whatever may come your way. Keep that in mind, dear ones. I have found through the years of living 70 years with one woman, and I had a lot of lessons to learn. Had no sisters in my home when I grew up with just us three boys, dear ones. When wife came on the scene and we joined a force to live together, dear ones, I found a force that was not bold, not up demanding and so on, but polite and kind, and letting me know that the saints don't do this, don't do that, John, and was my guide. And that's where I'm standing today. And all these years of dear ones, and I was living for God and trusting His name, and I may stumble in my language, and may fault some in my words and so on, but dear ones, I want to say this morning, I love the Lord above everything else in this world. And companion came next. She was my guide, my counsel. I knew nothing about what God taught and so on. But dear ones, seems to me that God brought us together and joined us together in marriage, where I had someone to counsel me and to tell me and let me know how things were and so on. I appreciate that this morning. She's gone, but dear ones, she went gloriously and saved. That's a glory when she went to the Lord there that afternoon, and that's still with me, that glow, that smile, and that wonderful air. We couldn't be sad and crying and weeping so on. But I tell you this morning, dear ones, that we joined forces there and praise God that she had the victory. Dear ones, she still has the victory this morning. And I thank the Lord that we still have the victory and saved and trusting God and looking to the Lord through the providence of God blessing and helping us. For dear ones, it pays well to give heed to the things of God, the Word of God. Over in the 1 Corinthians, pray for us now. I don't know Oh, time, don't want to hold you too long or anything, if possible. But over in 1 Corinthians, I'd like to read a verse there, I think, that we need to keep in mind an understanding of God. Down to the early times, hundreds of years ago, that God spoke to His prophets back there, His people, and established something in Scripture that will do us to good today, that we can abide by, and it'll lead us and guide us and help us along life's way, that we can have the victory, we can have the patience, we can have the understanding, the endurance, to stand for truth and righteousness right here in this present world, with sin all around, neighborhoods corrupt and so on. But thank God this morning, God's way is best, always best, for those that will trust in Him, live for God. I have found it so. If anything you think about this morning, about age, dear ones, it's God. It's the Lord. And that has blessed us and came to our rescue many times, healing in the home, working out problems, taking care of needs and burdens and so on. The Lord has provided sufficiently through life. And we've met some times and looked like they were kind of uncertain. But dear ones, by looking to God and trusting in God, He brought us through and brought us up and brought us out and kept us saved up to this present moment. I thank the Lord for that and appreciate it. Now just notice in 1 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, and want to read this 9th verse here. I'll use this verse quite a bit visiting around and so on, and it stays with me, and something in that that's got a hold of me, and back when I first got acquainted with it, and I have stood on it. Notice what it says there. But as is written way back, ages ago, years ago, well, beyond our, before our time and so on, I have not seen, a lot of things that the eye has not seen, revealed, God back in those early times and notice a little further there, and he said, and near nor ear heard, nor the ear heard, what God was speaking to his prophets way back in those times, come down to us today, dear ones, God was looking into the future, in that, I believe with all my heart, we're serving Almighty God, He is from everlasting to everlasting, the same yesterday, today, and forever, with whom is no variableness, no shadow turning, He's still God, dear ones, believe that, stand on that, don't be pulled away from that, don't worry about what the devil tries to do, what others may say, but dear ones, stand on the word, stand on the truth, abide there, God will pull you out, He'll just lift you up, and He'll carry you, He'll carry you through, and help you out. Notice a little further, and then it says, neither have entered into the heart of man, neither has entered into the heart of man. There's things there, dear ones, that God has prepared and provided for His people. You are His children, you're His people, dear ones, everyone that's saved, living for God, trusting God, you're a child of God this morning, sanctified, living for God, dear ones, that life is rich, it's abundant, I can, there I am, by myself, a companion, been gone 10 months, a little over now, and so on, and some people kind of worry about me and so on, but dear ones, I know how to cook, I know how to wash dishes, I know how to do laundry, I know how to take care of the house, and so there I am by myself, day after day and night after night, no fear, thank God, God is there, He's working, giving me the strength, and sometimes folks so marvel at that, dear ones, I don't marvel, it's God, it's the Lord doing that, working in my behalf, showing me and revealing to me the things I need to know and understand. He's a wonderful teacher. I thank the Lord that He's such a wonderful teacher today to teach and instruct and help us along the way. When we come short somewhere, God can sit right in there and say, listen to this, and let us know something there to help us out. May the Lord bless each one is our petition, our desire this morning. That you will look to God and let Him be the one to instruct you and help you. Now notice this little further. And he said, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. that love him. Folks, talk about love. I grew up in a home where love was not in outstanding there. Folks just lived common, and we lived common, and didn't have much of anything and so on. But I tell you, that when God brought the companion and I together and so on, I began to see what love was, and I understood it then, as to love one another, and through that, brought me to a place to where I could love the Lord, and love His people, and have a concern and interest in them, and long last pathway. Dear ones, this morning, sometimes I want to break down and weep because of the greatness of God's love and mercy to all of us, caring for us here, this multitude today. I don't know where you all come from, dear ones, but the God is the same everywhere. Wherever you might be, wherever you came from, dear ones, God is right there. May we stand on that and hold that fast in our expectations. Now notice here that things which God has prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And I thank you for the Spirit of God this morning. And praise the Lord for Him. My teacher, and I went through school, and first grade, and on into junior high school, and all that, learned all they taught us and so on. And into senior, couldn't finish senior, and times got hard, I had to quit and go to work. And what did I go to work for? Dollar a day. That might be a surprise to some of you teenagers. Dollar a day. 10 hours a day. Hard work. That was back in those in the 30s. And I'd just come out advanced. I got a raise. I had been working for 50 cents a day, 10 hours a day. 50 cents a day, 10 hours a day. You figure that one out. Then I changed and worked 1 year for that, and then the second year of that new man, then he raised me 75 cents a day. Well, I was advancing then. I was advancing. I was getting on up there pretty good money now. 75 cents a day. Wound up working for a farmer for a dollar a day, 10 hours. Now, that's good money in those times. Dear ones, you teenagers this morning, I marvel at the way things have gone. Some of you don't think 50 cents or a dollar amounts to much, but in those days, that dollar was something. It would buy groceries, and it would pay bills, and it would buy gasoline. How many go out to your fuel station now? What's it cost you? And so on. May the Lord help us this morning. These things, God saw down there, all in the future. Dear ones, God sees the things right on down to the end of time. He knows what's down there. He knows what happens. And He prepares us and plans for us. That we, when those times come that we don't understand and so on, we can be stable right in the Lord. Fixed and solid. Ground embedded cemented, as it were, in the things of God. Folks, don't fear to trust God. Don't fear to believe in God. Dear ones, that's the safest course there is to follow in this world, is obedience to God, is believing in Him. But believe. You know, I've got kind of a favorite statement anymore. Pick that up at the ocean, I guess it was, there. Believe God and yield. You think about that. Believe God and yield. May the Lord help. You know, some folks don't like to yield. I'm sorry about that. But a lot of people in prison today because they didn't yield to righteousness. Let's notice a little further down there. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. By His Spirit. Revealed and made known. Dear ones, had you ever stopped to think about that? What am I? Who am I? Here, there, the life that I have lived in this world and so on, it has to be of God, has to be the Lord, doing that and bringing that about in my life and my experience, doing the things He did to lift us up and to help us, through the crisis and the things that arose and those things that got in the way, God was there to take care of it. He worked it out. You know, we can get a college education we want to, but you can't beat the things of God, the Word of God. May the Lord help us. I would like to turn over, notice in 2 Timothy, notice there, Lord, bring our helper. Are you praying for us? Amen. I'm not young and sprightly, and I can't jump and so on. And I feel like sometimes I could wave my leg around the air and so on like that. But there are ones that are years taking its toll. I used to climb and in building and so on like that. I had lots of exercise and so on. But that's why my knees are kind of worn out, I think. Over in chapter of 2 Timothy, I want you to notice the 15th verse there. Have you ever looked at that real closely? Turn to it, if you got your Bible handy. And notice this now. When it says, steady. Any of you parents ever have a child that just didn't want to study? Have you ever had a little boy that he would just run out there and throw his sticks around for the dog to chase him so on rather than sit down and study? How about that? How about us adults, you adults and so on? How about that? Have you ever got away from studying? Looking into the Word and seeking out the things that God has for you that might be a help to your long life's pathway? Study. You know, there are ones in construction work is a rather complicated thing, and all types of buildings and all types of material and different types of people that you're working for and so on, there's a study in that. There are ones spend time to study the case, the building, the plans, what it is, and the relationship of the man you're working for and so on. There are ones in the kingdom of God this morning, living for God, and study, and meditate, and look to the Word of God, and look to the Spirit to lead and guide and direct, and in those areas where we may be deficient and so on. And the Lord is able to do that and point out to us where we need help, and where we need some instructions and so on. And trust God, and He's able to do that for you and I along life's way. Study to show thyself approved. Study to show thyself approved. Don't just sit down and read through and just kind of go on your way and so on. But take time. That's the Word. That is instructing you. God is teaching you and revealing to you and making known to you your part in the plan of God in your lifetime. May the Lord help you there. Now go a little further. He said, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, just in a kind of an illustration, back in the 30s, men were desperate for work. 30 cents an hour we were getting at that time in construction work. But there were a number of men running around trying to find a job. They would be glad for a 10 cents an hour job, if possible. Some of them were going hungry, too. Had a man come one time, and he was so desperate. And my man I was working for, building a house and so on, and he just insisted that he be hired. Well, the builder finally wound up and he said, well, you said you go out there and make me a pair of sawhorses. Now, you think about that. You carpenters now, think about that, sawhorses. He said, you go out there, there's a scrap pile out there. He said, you pick out and make me a pair of sawhorses. He went out there and he picked this and that thing and that other out there and brought them together, nailed them together, and the 10-year-old boy could have done the same thing. He sent him out there, and he came to me, and I was one of the main men on his job there. He said, you think he'd like that? I shook my head. No, I don't think you'd better talk to him. So he didn't pass inspection. He said, no, I can't use you. Well, dear ones, steady and to be approved in every situation. Dear ones, we need God's guiding hand to lead us. We're not going to get by with makeshift bill. Makeshift salvation will not work. Makeshift, just getting by. Dear ones, I would be ashamed to try to cheat on God. And some people are doing that. Cheat on God. They just said, well, I've read this and that and so on, and just go right on out and live the kind of life they lived before then and so on. Dear ones, we owe everything that we have to God. Everything that's in our control belongs to God. I find myself in mornings when in prayer and looking at the Lord, that's something that we make a practice of, morning and night prayer and mornings each day, each time, if I can remember, Lord, I'm in your hands today. I'm yours. I belong to you. You paid the price for me. I'm not my own anymore. I'm yours. And help me today to see and do and accomplish those things you have for me. And I've all gone so far, Lord, all of the things that you have granted to me, all the possessions that we have is yours. That's God's. That's the Lord's. You only have them because of God's mercy and love shown toward you. And that. So we consecrate those things to the Lord there in believing with all of our heart that we are in the kingdom of God. And we're in the city of God. And we're living for God and serving Him. And we're not our own. We're just sheep, as it were. And we're of His pasture and His keeping and His care, His concern, and all those things, dear ones, belong to Him. So a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, and rightly dividing the word of truth, and the word of truth is a compact, and it's nothing in there out of line, out of harmony, and it's there for you and I to pursue and look into and look to God to give us a right division and right understanding of what God had in mind in that verse or that word that you've been reading. God has a plan in that, and in that. And dear ones, you'll be surprised sometimes at what the Lord reveals to you by reading His Word and endeavoring to rightly divide it by the Spirit of God, helping and blessing along life's pathway. May the Lord help us in this. I'd like to turn to Micah of the 4th chapter. Would you pray for us? I don't know. I seem the same time if I get kind of carried away with what the Lord does for me and so on. And I kind of slip, maybe forget and so on. But the Lord is my keeper and He helps me. Notice that first verse in the 4th chapter of Micah. Pray for us. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Now, I believe most of us this morning believe that we are in the last days. Now, I want to say just a little more there. I believe we're in the last of the last days. I believe that. So many things have been fulfilled and carried out. I believe that we're in a time today, and dear ones, He'll pay you will to be have a real relationship with God and through Christ Jesus. And for we never know what's going to happen. There are accidents of all kinds, and wars of all kinds, and confusions everywhere, and so on in this world today, dear ones, and getting more crowded all the time. Sin on the increase, iniquity abounding, and the love of many waxing cold. It's out there, folks. Dear ones, people come to a place they don't care as long as they can profit by it and gain more dollars and cents and more property and so on. Dear ones, not giving any thought about the value of their eternal soul. Not giving much a thought about what it's going to mean to meet God out there and when they leave this world and so on. Give account of their deeds and so on. Dear ones, keep your life clean. Keep it clear and approved of God along life's way. Notice there, in the last days, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. Dear ones, we're in a wonderful way. We're in a place, dear ones, that's marvelous to my mind. I think about it, and I pray about it, and I read about it, and it expands out and into much, and I tell that this a marvel of what God has done and what He spoke to His prophets back there several hundred years ago that fits the situation today. We're serving a God that knows all things, from the beginning to the end. He's from everlasting to everlasting, the same yesterday, today, and forever, with whom is no variableness, no shadow turning. He is still God, and He's still got control, and He's working everything out in your life and my life, and He's done mine and helped me along life's way. This morning, I'm so well pleased and so happy and glad for the Lord's blessings for me that I am what I am this morning. And others may not approve of me. And they say, look at me and say, well, you old man there, and so on. But dear ones, I'm God's property. And I belong to the Lord. And He's taking care of me. And I'm not going by looks and so on. And there, but the Lord knows all about us. And may the Lord help us this morning. I advise everyone to move on for God and live for Him. And let's notice over in Jeremiah this, about the third chapter, another verse or two there. Jeremiah, let's notice down about the 23rd verse, perhaps, there. That's an old familiar text, been used through the years and so on. But notice how it reads there. It says, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills. This verse we just read a moment ago there, it says something about the hills and the multitude of mountains. Notice this there. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Dear ones, this morning, all these institutions, all these things of the world today, universities and colleges and all those things there, out there, God is not in all that. He's not out there in those hills and those little places by the roadside where you drive down the road and you see one over here and one over there and so on. God is not working in those so much as He is in your heart and your life and in the house of God. God is working and He has a plan of redemption there to bring to pass in your life a victorious ending from this world to the glory world. That's what we're working for, living for, is to have His approval upon us when we leave this world and go out to the next there, dear ones. May God help us this morning. Keep that in mind. Your course in life is a short duration. Dear ones, this world today is our proving ground. It's like the automobile companies. They put out a proving ground. They put tracks out there. They put devices there. When they manufacture a new vehicle and put new devices on it and so on, they take it out there and they drive it day and night, hour after hour, see if this thing stands up, holds up, stays together and so on, there, and on. They do that until that thing falls apart, and they can tell how many miles they was able to go, how much fuel it used in doing that, what it cost to replace that and so on. Dear ones, you do that. Today, dear ones, you and I are in a proving ground right here in this present world, being proven by God, going through here a short period of time. Our lifetime is very short and very brief and so on, even at my age and so on, and 91 years, and dear ones, it's only been a short period of time in comparison to eternity that I have been here in this, and God has proved me and tested me and run me through the mill, as it were, during all that time, and I believe this morning I still have His approval for my life. Oh, dear ones, it pays well to live for God. It pays well to trust in His name. It pays well to stay true and so on. And when my life is run, there won't be much longer. And now, what will it be? Dear ones, I'm planning on that day or that night or that hour, whatever it is, to go out with glory like my companion did. That stays with me. There, that sweetness, that beauty, that glory, that sweet smile. Lord, didn't stop there. February the 9th, dear ones, the Lord sent me a dream there. I don't know, I never told that here, I don't think, anywhere. But on February the 9th, the Lord gave me a dream. I got up that morning about 4 o'clock, and I got things to go in the house, went back to bed, must have went to sleep, and had a dream. There it came, as in a big room, looked like. And I was standing there in that, wondering what it was there for and so on. I turned around and someone was coming to me. You know who it was? It was the Lord Jesus coming to me. In my dream now. And I saw Him come to me. And He stopped right by me. And I fell down there to give Him thanks and praise for what He meant to me. What He means to me. You know what He did? Almost makes me want to weep. But He reached down with one arm and picked me up and set me up on my feet like that. And when he did that, he said, welcome. That means a lot to me, folks. That is something to me. He said, welcome. He set me on my feet. Then he turned me slight like that, and there was my mother-in-law, my wife's mother, right there with a smile on her face looking at me. I knew who she was. She's just as natural as she was last time I saw her before she was sick. That was years ago there. Then he turned me again to her daughter, Pauline. You remember Pauline Brown? To her. And she gave me a big sunny smile. She always had a sunny smile. He turned me just a little further. There was my sweet companion right there with her smile. And behind that multitude, scene there with those three, I saw a vast multitude of saints. As far as I could see, way back in the back, clear till it vanished out of my sight. All the saints, all the people of God. That was in paradise. No doubt to me. Right there. And when he got done showing me my sweet companion there, and I just fell down to give him thanks and praise for that and woke up. Dear one, that stays with me that there is a reward out there. There's a way. That God has a plan. He's working there to bring all of us to it. May the Lord help us to believe with all of our hearts this morning the greatness of God. Now notice this then, and truly in vain is salvation hope from the hills, from the multitude of mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. These little byways and byplaces and so on, universities, whatever you might be, college, whatever it is, big sect, little sect, and all of them. Dear ones, there's no salvation out there. They had their way of doing things, but dear ones, what does it say right there? It said, truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Today's salvation, right here. You look into it, investigate out there, and you'll find just what we put out here, that is true. May God help us this morning to understand. Now, and I want to notice in Isaiah, maybe it is, 26th chapter. And just notice what it says there. Isaiah, I really appreciate Isaiah. Really appreciate his writings and so on. Back in his time, so on, back there, 700 years or better in his day. And notice it right here. In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Amen. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Right there. Dear ones, the word, Isaiah, back there, way back to all those years gone by and so on, and over 700 years and so on, Isaiah wrote that, and it fits right in today. Fits right in. Meets our requirements and our needs today. Yeah, the word of God, it doesn't fail, see, and so on. It carries right on. In that, for you and I. Now I want to go back to Ezekiel this morning. Just pray for us. The Lord will help us. I have some things on my mind, maybe. I've carried a long time, and I just like to be able to be a help and a blessing to others round about here. I don't want my life to be empty, and so on. Now, notice in Ezekiel, the 40th chapter, and just notice the 40th chapter and the second verse. It says, in the visions of God brought me into the land of Israel, and set me up on a very high mountain, by which was as the frame of a city on the south. Now Ezekiel is down in Babylon, been down there among the captives of Israel, been down about 25 years at this point now in Babylon. And God, he's not in Israel, but God has given him visions of Israel over there, and are revealing to him and making known to him what God was doing and what he was going to do and so on. Now notice this again, in the vision, see, the vision. Ezekiel's down in Babylon now, but he's having a vision of Judah over in Israel, see, there. And notice here, he said, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me up on a very high mountain by which was as a frame of a city on the south. There's a frame of city on the side of this big mountain that he saw there in that vision. Someone might say, well, what was all that about? God revealing by his prophet Isaiah things that's going to take place in the day when Christ came into the world, after Christ came into the world. There are ones that's there for you and I, that we can have something there that we know is of God and working and the power of God is doing. And God is not limited to what man is living to. In the 48th chapter of Ezekiel, it gives a name, if I remember rightly there. On that gate, right here, it says, and the gates of the city shall be after the names of the tribes of Israel, 3 gates from northward, 1 gate of Reuben, 1 gate of Judah, and 1 gate of Levi. All visions that the Lord was revealing to this man back in his day, and Lord, to fit our time today, in our time, for us right here. We can go back, and these things, what verifies the truth to my mind when we read back there and see what God told them back there comes down to me today. That caused me to believe. That caused me to trust. Cause me to obey. Cause me to love the Lord. To love His way. And realize that God worked on that. Bring something to me. Who am I? What am I? I think about that sometimes. That the Lord has been so good to me. And kept me as well as He has to this present hour. Whole and sound. And except for my limbs. They're weak now. They're worn out from so much climbing and so on. And through the years. And all that. But dear ones, they're God revealing and making known to us what He had planned back there 700 and some years ago. How do you feel about that? The Lord singing upon you. Way back in those early times there, and He planted and brought it right on down. Don't you know that God knew what was going to take place? He knew that He was going to send His Son into the world. He knew all about those things. He had it already planned. We're serving a mighty God this morning, folks. We're serving the eternal God, the everlasting Father, the God of lights, the King of glory. And this morning, may the Lord help us to realize the goodness and mercy of God in all these things. I'd like to turn to Hebrews, Lord helping me, and notice a little more there. Something about some of those old-timers back in those days. There, I don't know if you're interested in these. I'm quite a history buff, and I like to go back and notice in those things what's taking place in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And I want to notice here, by faith, Abraham, 8th verse. Notice what it says. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he's going. He just went out by faith. He trusted God. Dear ones, how about us today? Did you know where you were going when you started out? Did you know when you was a little boy, a little girl there, what the future held for you? What was in your mind? What were your plans? What led you to do what you did? What brought that about? Lord, back there dealing and working in and through. Well, every one of us this morning, I don't care, young and old right here this morning, God was working and planning and dealing to bring out something for your benefit, for your good, and your blessings in time to come. Think of the Lord and thinking upon us way back there in Isaiah's day and time, and have Him to write like He did here. And then right here in Hebrews, the Apostle Paul writing to the folks there in Judah, Lord, notice there, and he said that he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith. Yeah. By faith. There once a day, and there's a great need of faith. Hey, a real strong need of real faith. Real down, solid, a lively, living faith in God. We know that today. We see that. Notice that. He said a little further. And he said that he sojourned in the land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacle and so on with Jacob and Isaac and Jacob and so on. And then goes on down, 11th verse, through faith, Sarah was delivered of a child when she was past age and so on. 12th verse, therefore sprang there even as of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now notice this. They's all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. They saw way on down there in their day. Notice that. And said to him, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. Folks, those folks back there, they had hope in God. These promises that we're receiving today were not available then. But God promised them. And these folks, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all those folks, they saw them way on down, 700 or 800 years ahead. They saw that. They were not able to come to it in their day and time. Notice here a little further. It said, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country which they came out of originally, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly country, wherefore God has not attained to call them, what was it there? And called, said there, prepared for them, not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. They saw that way on down in the future. What do we see in the future, in our day and time? May the Lord help us. The Lord provided for you, for all of us. Back in those times there, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for all those, right on down through, pointing to a time there would be a change. Things that would be brought to pass. Never been done before, see, in there. And so what the Lord worked there and brought that all out for those folks there. So just notice something about that city. I don't know about the time here. I don't want to hold you too long and so on. But let's notice in Revelation a little bit. Just pray for us. We're trying to keep it just as simple as we can, as understanding as we can, as being what God would have us to be. I realize that sometimes we can get tired of things and so on, and bother and trouble and so on. But there are ones that like to keep it down to where we can comprehend it, where you can now comprehend it, where our teenagers can get a hold of it, even where children can know about it and understand it and so on. May the Lord help us in this. Now notice here in John, in Revelation 21, and notice about the 10th verse. Bear with us and pray for us. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And we saw that back there in Ezekiel. And showed me that the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now the second verse there, John writing, he said, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's all this, dear ones. How about it this morning, dear ones? How do we feel about it? Notice a little further there, it said, having the glory of God, and so on. And a wall great and high, and 12 gates and so on in there. And it said the names written in those gates and so on. And 12 tribes of Israel and so on. Then on the east, 3 gates and so on. Goes on down and skipping through as fast as we can and still hold it. 12 foundations, and then in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. We see it all complete there, do we not? Then dropping on down to the 22nd verse, they said, I saw no temple therein. Didn't see any special place there in therein. You notice this? For the Lord God Almighty had the Lamb are the temple of it. The Lord is our temple. They were the temple of it, to see, for there. Goes a little further, and they had no need of the sun and so on. And goes on down, and what does it say a little further there? And there shall be no in no wise in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. May the Lord help us this morning, be sure where our names are written. It matters a lot what the outcome will be in your life and my life to where the Lord finds our name. May the Lord help us in this. Lamb's book of life. And notice that. Now I want to go add a little more to that. Let's go back to Ezekiel 47th chapter. And notice a little bit there. And it said about the 47th chapter of Ezekiel, After it, he brought me again into the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out, and so on. Goes down a little further there, and it said waters went out of a certain place there. Then he measured so far, and the water was to the ankles, and then up to the knees, and then to the loins. Then a little further there, you can read it when you want to. And he said right there, he measured the distance there, and he said, I could not pass over it. It become quite a river, see, in that. So in the 12th verse, it said, and by the river upon the bank thereof, this side of Sodom shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaves shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because there are waters that issue out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. And way back there, about 670 years before Revelation, that was written there. Can you imagine that? Think about that. The Lord placing that in there didn't happen back there, see, but it was in the yet future, see. All right, then let's notice in Revelation again. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. 22nd chapter. Notice this here. Goes right on down. And proceeding out of the throne of God. And it goes on down and says, and the tree of life, which bare 12 measures of fruits and yielded their fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And dear ones, all there. And prophesied way back in Ezekiel's day to our time, back there 2,000 years or so ago, when Jesus came on the scene. And isn't it wonderful how the Lord worked, blessed, helped us, lifted us up, and brought about this for you and I here? Now, what does it say? A little 14th verse there. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates in the city. Think of the privileges now. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, the 17th verse. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord just brought it all out, see, compact, for you and I, in our time, in our day, to be partakers of these things. Are you drinking of the water this morning? Dear ones, are you eating of the tree there? The leaves for the healing? It's all right there. Hey, just think of that. How the Lord has provided for you and I right here day by day in this present world. No, I can't imagine anyone finding an excuse not to trust the Lord. I can't imagine that. Not to trust the Lord when he has, through his promises, through his prophets there, brought these things to pass and brought them down there for you and I. That lady over there in there, St. John, I believe it was, what was it there, speaking about the living water. And let's just go to that moment there, St. John. And notice what the about the woman meeting him at the well and so on. And he said, in the 10th verse of the 4th chapter of St. John, he said, and Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Isn't that wonderful? If you'd asked now, he'd have given you living water now. Goes on down and said that. And then a little further, the 13th verse, and Jesus answered and said, whosoever drinketh of this water shall never thirst. Are you thirsty this morning? Drink of this water. It's there for you to drink to the full. And the prophet back there saw a river of it flowing down there and so on. And then John, the revelator, then he saw it then and wrote it down there. Fulfillment of that, dear ones, today for you and I to drink and eat at the tree of life. There's no need to run around hardly bestead and hungry and thirsty spiritually when it's all right here in the Word. For you, for all of us, dear ones, believe it, accept it, stand on it. And if you get a little thirsty, you'll want to read a little bit about it. It's wonderful how the Lord has worked and brought this all about for you and I in our time, that we can have the victory, we can have the power, we can have the strength, we can have the grace and the courage to move on for God and live for the Lord in the abundance of His love and mercy and compassion toward you and I. And I thank the Lord this morning. He had so much compassion on me when I was so ignorant and so dumb as far as spiritual things was concerned, knew nothing about it and all. But the Lord came, and I remember that night there by that old cane bottom kitchen chair that he was using for an altar that night and prayed for me. And he said, now you pray. I tried to pray before I got there. Couldn't. I didn't know how to pray. And that feeling there that night, in 37 was such I wanted to get out of that. It was miserable. It was something that I didn't like at all. And I just got out of the bed there, and my bed there, and that bed was a good bed, but that night went wrong. I was miserable. I couldn't rest. I couldn't relax in that. But when that brother said what he did, I didn't know what to do. You know, the Lord helps us when we don't know what to do. He'll come to our rescue, and he'll make a way. So when he said what he did there, I didn't take time to thought. I just threw up my arms, and I said, Lord, save me. I don't know what happened. It seemed like the floor even went down, or I went up. And there it was, 1937, February the 28th, 1937, my spiritual birthday, back there at midnight, right at midnight. Now when we went back to the house, went to bed, that bed was all right then. It wasn't wrong anymore. It was all right. And you know what? From midnight till I got up the next morning there, close to 5:30, I had a good night's rest. The Lord was there. The Lord was there, blessing. Worked that day, worked hard that day, and so on. Dear ones, God does wonderful things for us. We need to appreciate what the Lord does, what he means to us. Take time with the Word. Take time in prayer. Look to God. Folks, I can't tell you all that went on back in those days for me. But from then on, wife took over, and the Lord took over my life, and instructed and helped me, and so on, and blessed all the way through there, dear ones. Some people say, well, I got in trouble and I couldn't stand it, so I just gave up. I never did find a place to give up. Even when I didn't know too much, I didn't see any way for me to give up and back up on that. The Lord done so much for me that night there when he saved me, I just kept pressing right on. Here once this morning, we're still pressing, still moving on for God, still trusting in the Lord, still seeking to obey him and live for him. I appreciate your prayers. Appreciate your love. Well, I don't know. I've been spoiled here. This meeting. My girls, they about spoil me. They make sure I get up here. They'll provide for me. Yes, man, you can drive their cars and so on and brought me up here. Now this is the fourth day, I guess, I've been here. So on. And bless all the saints have done for me here. You folks have shown your love so wonderfully. An old crippled up fellow like me, it's been marvelous. You're about to spoil me. I thank the Lord for it. Appreciate your love and your mercy. Be encouraged. Look up. Never look down. Never look back, but look up and forward. The Lord will bless and he'll help you out. Be with you. Pray for me. Amen.